Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 351, recorded on February 23rd, 2018. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Jamf Now, the device management solution for your Apple devices at work. Check them out at jamf.com/TIOSS. I am Michael Johnston. With me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I hope you're well, too.
I am, and you're sounding lovely because we're not using Skype anymore.
You know, every podcast I do where we can leave Skype behind, there's an angel that gets its wings.
Yeah. Yep. True. I saw it happen. Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great.
Happy to be over on Discord.
Yeah.
Discord.
All right. So
I use it for gaming too. Ooh.
Yeah. Really?
So that's kind of crazy.
That's
you
weird.
You can use Discord for gaming as well?
That's odd.
Twitch it
good.
So according to Bloomberg, we're not going to just screw around, we're actually going to talk about iPhone stuff.
What'd they say?
What'd Bloomberg say? Well, let me tell you, they said that Apple will this year, probably very soon, debut new AirPods with hands-free Hey Siri, which would be oh shoot, why'd I do that?
You said it.
I said the
hands-free. Hey, lady.
Hey, yeah. Hola, Siri. Which would be great because I really want that. And then that frees up a double tap pod command, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I don't use those at all.
You don't do
that. You know what? Double tap AirPod command I would use all the time. Answer
Siri?
The frickin' phone.
Yes. What? Yes.
What do you mean?
You can't tap your AirPods to answer the phone.
Baloney. Yeah. Baloney. I do it all the time.
Nope.
You can tap
don't.
To hang up.
No, you're wrong.
You can tap to answer?
Yes.
It's never
Seriously?
Worked for me.
Yeah.
I've never been able to set that up.
We're going to try it as soon as we're done with this call. It totally works just fine. Out of the box, no configuration. It just works fine.
I thought it did. I'm maybe just really bad at tapping.
I think you're bad
that
at tapping.
That has never worked for me ever.
Do you? Well, Adam, you confess to not using tapping at all.
I use it to hang up the call.
Okay.
And to activate Siri occasionally.
Okay.
But I mean, most of the time when I'm using my AirPods, it's to watch a movie on my iPad.
I usually
The only thing I ever need to do is pause, and to do that, I just take the earbud out of the AirPod out of my ear, and it works awesome.
Because
yeah, I put it back
awesome
in, and the movie
me.
Starts again.
Huh?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I use Siri to ask her to play embarrassing music for me while I'm walking around in public.
Yeah.
And I've just embraced it now. It's fun.
See, I never leave the house, so I have a HomePod now and that does the same thing.
Okay, cool. So on top of the neat Hey Lady command coming this year,
mm-hmm.
It looks like they also think that we'll see water resistant pods next year.
Aren't they already pretty water resistant?
They're pretty good right now.
Yeah,
I have emails.
Yeah.
I have an email from a guy who this past winter lost his in a snowbank and went back in the spring and picked it up and it was working fine.
Whoa.
Yep.
I'm guessing it was a snowbank in his like front yard.
Yeah, yeah. He was out working in his front yard and he kind of knew where it fell out, but he couldn't find it.
Because it's blended.
Waited
in.
For the thaw, and then it, like, lo and behold, there it was.
And it worked just fine.
And he picked it up and cleaned it off, dried it off, and yeah, it worked great.
Sweet. Yeah, I've definitely lost mine in the laundry.
Yeah, they can survive a dunking, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Like a quick, like if you dropped it in a puddle of water or something like that, I think they're going to be okay.
Brief dunking, yeah.
I mean, you can't go swimming with them.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'd be crazy to want to do
I
that.
I don't think they'd stay in swimming.
No, they certainly wouldn't.
Okay. What else we got? Oh, so the wireless charging mat may be available to buy next month, according to Mako Takara. We're still thinking that it's going to cost $200.
Oh, my God.
Well, the $200 number comes from a different Apple blog from a week or two ago.
The Apple Post?
If it's more than $100 bucks, it's no one's buying it.
And they're saying that someone at Best Buy told them that.
Just a guy at Best Buy? Just their friend at Best Buy?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I remember this price point.
It's going to sell about as well as Apple's watch charger.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Now, to be fair, okay, so this thing's going to be able to charge three devices at once, including an iPhone and maybe two iPhones.
Only an Apple Watch if you have a Series 3, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but my point is, my point is that it's probably going to be pulling a lot of current, so you're going to need something substantial, possibly a USB-C charger. So if it does, then that price point kind of makes a little more sense because it, hopefully would have the brick and the cable and everything you need to make it go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to justify, maybe I am. I don't think $200 is a price I'm going to pay for this, but it, you know.
I have no need.
Makes it more reasonable.
Because, again, it's not just $200, right? If you want it to work with your AirPods, you got to buy the $69 AirPod case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to buy an Apple Watch 3. So,
And an iPhone 8.
Yep.
None of which I have. So
so there's no point in it for you.
I could look at it.
I could use it, assuming I bought the
case.
Wireless AirPod case whenever that comes out. But at the same time, I already have figured out my entire solution for everything, and that's a device that does not fit into my needs.
Yeah.
Here's a DIY project for someone. Get a piece of wood,
okay,
and a router, and some like $12 Anker charger, Qi chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And make little routes for your Apple Watch charger and a couple for the Qi chargers and call it a day.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Or you could
get a three-port USB hub to plug them all into, or a USB power thing to plug them all into.
You could do what I do, which is just replace all of your outlets with ones that have USB charging in it and also have an Anker 5-port hub. So I just have lightning cables streaming out of the walls everywhere I look.
Yep. Yep.
That also works.
I don't know. It's an Apple product, right? There's certain people that it's for and they're going to love it and buy it, but it's not the accessory of the century.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, that's one accessory that I'm not like waiting for it to come out. It's like when it comes out, great. It'll be there again in a lot of ways. Like Apple's little Apple Watch circular donut charger thing is cool looking thing. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to buy one.
Yeah.
But if you want it, there it is. You can have it. Enjoy.
Yep.
So there were a bunch of updates for this, Telugu character bug,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully you don't have any really mean friends who sent you this character.
Do you?
I don't.
I didn't either.
Thankfully.
Yeah, it's because we're all nice to each other.
Yeah.
But I think it also impacted other third-party apps like Twitter and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So there were a bunch of people like pushing it around on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so if you like at reply somebody with that thing, it'll, yeah, as long as it has to show up in an Apple display.
Yeah. So if you use any Twitter app on your phone, boom.
Right.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite. So yeah. So the iOS 11.2.6 fixed that along with maybe some other bugs. It seems like they've also pushed out 11.26 for tvOS and 4.23 for watchOS.
Cool.
So there's that.
Update and your stuff.
Update your stuff. It's always fun to update. I'm just glad that I'm not getting any more weird I question mark or question, whatever that thing was.
The A box thing or whatever.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
You know, what this tells me is that Apple needs to get some specialists in doing internationalization of their code. Because that's what this stuff is related to. Well, except for that one Unicode mapping thing.
As a programmer that has occasionally and very rarely, and not at any kind of the level that Apple has to deal with it, but as somebody who's had to deal with the internationalization, in a lot of ways, unfortunately, it's also kind of like on the web doing stuff for accessibility. It is just, it's not like it's super hard, but there's so many layers to it and so much complexity in terms of just like, you know, there's weird, odd characters in certain languages and you just like, you would never know. Like, I don't know how anybody could. Like, even if you had a team of specialist people, it's so daunting, the sheer volume of... it's a volume of information and things. It's not like... The implementations, they make it easy enough, but it's a very manual kind of process to have to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah, and
there's
that's
nothing automated about it.
Where a team of specialists would help, because it is so tedious, and there's so many little things that you can miss.
You know, it's like data entry back in the day. It's just like,
But you'll miss far fewer if you have a team that specializes in this.
Yeah. Yeah, you need rooms of people just like typing things out in all different languages on different platforms and different apps. And like, it's really just and that's what I'm referring to is like, it's just monotony, tedium, you know, yeah, they'd have to have like a script, like, all right, here's what you're going to type. And you just sit there and type it all day.
Yes.
In different
languages.
But there's
also one or two companies out there that have specialized in helping with development environments just to avoid these specific kinds of problems. So they have like really robust systems to help avoid these internationalization issues that come up in code.
I guess you totally could script it and automate it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense why there'd be a company to do it. But I thought that OS X used to be really good at internationalization.
No, I mean, it is. I guess I'm more referring on the implementation side, like building it in is just, there's a lot of monotony and tedium in implementing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
especially
overall, Apple's really good at this, but when they have a problem, of course it makes the news because it's Apple.
Yeah, true. Because they're so good.
I'm sure
at
this
stuff.
Kind of stuff comes up all the time. You know, that's a very good point, Jeff, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because this happens all the time. But again, because it's Apple, it's pushed to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would imagine it wouldn't take that much looking to find similar bugs on other platforms. It's just they don't hit the news cycle. You know, they're the page 13 of the newspaper stuff. Like somebody writes it up somewhere, but it never sees the light of day.
Well, it wouldn't be interesting at all. I mean, it's... Right now, it's kind of minutia to begin with.
Yeah, it's not even interesting when it happens to Apple.
Right.
And yet, people turn it into big news.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see here. Oh, we have some more... We have betas to talk about, some iPhone SE rumors and whatnot. But first, we have to talk about our wonderful sponsor, Jamf. With Jamf Now. Jamf Now helps you set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices on demand. It's pretty easy to keep track of your own Mac, iPad, or iPhone, but what about the other Apple devices in your organization? As a business grows, so does its collection of devices, making it increasingly harder to manage everyone's iPad, iPhone, and Mac. This is especially true if employees are in different locations. But with Jamf now, you can check real-time inventory, configure Wi-Fi and email settings, deploy applications, protect sensitive company data, and even lock or wipe a device from anywhere. Jamf now manages and protects your devices so you can focus on your business instead. No IT experience needed. And iOS show listeners can start securing their businesses today, setting up their first three devices for free forever and more for just $2 a month per device. Create your free account today at jamf.com/tios. That's jamf.com/TIOSS. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show.
I like them as a sponsor because it's just fun to say.
Jamf.
We'll leave that in. Maybe. Maybe. All right. Okay. So with that, Apple seeded the third beta of iOS 11.3 to developers and public beta testers. Of note,
it's set up to install tonight when
you're fast asleep.
Charger.
Yeah. So
I guess
there's bug fixes. Of course, they removed the I from iBooks.
That happened in.
That was a little while back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they
the earlier betas?
I thought yes. I read somewhere that maybe they removed AirPlay 2.
They did
remove AirPlay 2.
Huh, interesting.
Because it was buggy in the previous releases.
Yeah, well, of course it was. I think the only reason they put it in the earlier iOS 11.3 releases was because they needed to do a bunch of data collection of it.
To see how crappy it was.
Get that data and then pull it back out and they can keep working on the code.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah,
I can't wait for it. That'll be really nice.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that whatever data they collected makes it so that they can actually roll AirPlay 2 out with iOS 11.3.
Yeah, I think that's really what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to get it out in this release.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
We think this is going to be final release sometime early spring.
Yeah, well, Apple committed like March to spring, or April. But they just didn't say when, so...
Yeah, spring starts what next month? I think
depending
the 20th.
On what calendar you're looking at.
When the little bluebirds.
So go Google this, people. It can actually start on February 6th, depending on what calendar you're using.
Wet? No.
No kidding.
Start to sing.
Okay. Oh, there's other fun little things like App Store review sorting and whatnot. But yeah, they removed AirPlay 2, and they also seeded the third beta of watchOS 4.3 to developers, which the 4.3 beta in general brings back iPhone Music Control, which is great. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. I'm sure I must have because I'm really stoked about that.
What brings back iTunes Music Control?
WatchOS 4.3. You can control your iPhone music once again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Although awesome. You can do that with Siri.
Does that include, but that doesn't include control for people who are using Apple Music, right? It's just control for the stuff that's on your phone, correct?
So it gives you a...
Because I don't put music on my phone anymore, I guess is the point. Like everything is streamed through Apple Music. Like
sure.
I don't download or put playlists on my phone.
So do you have an iCloud library though?
Well, yeah, because that's part of Apple Music.
Yeah, so if that shows up, then yeah, that'll work just fine.
Oh, okay.
And I use Ola Siri to play stuff right now through my watch. Oddly enough, I thought that wasn't going to be an issue. I didn't think you could do that any longer with watchOS 4. But it turns out the OLS Siri works just fine for playing music on your phone. It doesn't even question me. I just say, play this, and she goes, okay, cool. And it works just fine.
Nice.
So I don't know that I'm actually going to use this feature because it is a bit tedious to drill down, but I'm glad they're bringing it back. They also put in portrait nightstand mode. So I think that's primarily aimed at the people who are getting that $200 pad thing. But that's nice because it'll be good for docs and whatnot as well. There is an interesting rumor, according to, where did this come from? This was Chinese website QQ.com. So take it with a grain of salt, that the iPhone SE 2 will be unveiled later this year, according to supply chain reports, and it will be slightly larger. It'll be a potentially 4.2-inch display with an A10 Fusion processor, 2 gigs of RAM, and 32 or 120 gig storage.
And define later?
WWDC. They believe it's going to be at WWDC. It's also possible.
Now I believe it even less.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm calling May. Fake.
If they had said May, I would believe them, maybe.
Well, MacRumors thinks March.
Yeah, that's actually even more accurate, probably.
Yeah.
It's usually a spring release for SE.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if we're talking about a finally revamped SE.
Yeah, it's just going to be a rollout. Here's a new phone. It'll show up one day.
Yeah, somewhere between March and May. Before WWDC happens, Apple's not going to introduce what could be considered a consumer at best phone at WWDC.
That's offensive to people who like iPhone SE.
No, it isn't.
That they're consumers at best.
No, not that they are, but that's how Apple
the phone is not targeted.
Phone.
Yeah, the point is the phone is not targeted at pro iPhone users.
True.
It's a commodity device that's very good.
It is very good. Like that form factor. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I like them a lot too. But I mean, it doesn't have the latest tech in it by a long shot.
True. But people don't really care.
No,
because
and that's okay.
It does very many things very, very well that most people need.
And the size is really nice, too.
Yeah. It's a great phone. That's why I don't think it's going away, and I do think it will be updated, but it's just going to get a casual, you know, it's like the Mac Mini. It exists to serve a market that really likes it, and it will continue to exist as long as people really like it. And it will continue to get occasional updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did you guys see the cool report that that Apple's repair facility makes approximately 20 911 calls a day?
Yeah. Someone should send someone out there to make sure these people are okay.
Yeah.
Is that because they're accidentally activating the thing?
Yeah.
Yes, accidentally accessing the thingy.
I've done that. It's freaky, man. It's like scary.
Well, it's,
I sometimes
it's,
don't know how to cancel it. I'm like, what's going on? Oh my God.
It does the bloop thingy, right?
Yeah, it starts making a really bad noise and you're like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah, and then you're frantically smashing your finger on the screen to try and hit the cancel button.
So cops don't come out and arrest you.
Arrest? Yeah, that's what they're going to. You're arrested for misusing your iPhone. Calls. Misusing your iPhone.
It's funny that story comes out because I had wondered about, because I know so many people who have accidentally called 911 because of that on their phone. And it's not just Apple phones. They're putting this kind of feature onto a lot of devices, this SOS feature, and people are accidentally activating it. And I can only imagine, I'd love to hear a report of how much, since that feature started rolling out, the volume of non-legit calls has gone up at 911 call centers across the world, really.
So I'm looking in the settings right now, and there's a setting for auto call, which is off, which I think is probably the default.
Yeah. If you turn auto call on, you can put someone else's phone number in there so they get a notification that you,
yeah, that's not...
you activated the emergency thing.
Oh, so that's not auto call for emergency services.
What you get is you get a countdown. It's like a 3, 2, 1 before it actually does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cancel on that time, you're fine.
But if you're not paying attention.
Well, it's hard to not pay attention because it makes a very loud, annoying noise.
I'm tempting to do
And your screen lights up with a giant, you know, like it turns red basically. I can't remember exactly how it looks, but like, and then you start seeing the countdown.
It didn't make any noise, but it did kind of freak out. I don't want to try again. It makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's scary. I don't even like testing it.
Test it for the screenshot. You got to get that screenshot, bro.
Yeah, and you have to get the screenshot fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, back to the story, though. So, and it's not ultimately surprising that...
not super surprised. It's probably...
it would be happening.
It's probably due to the iPhone X, the way that that works, because you just squeeze it, right?
No, you have to push the sleep-wake button 5 times in succession.
That's on the old one. I thought that... So, like, on my 7, that's how you do it.
I did it last night to demo it to someone at a user group meeting.
Oh, how brave.
Just boop, 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 boop. And it starts making the freak-out sound, and they're like, I'm shutting that off. I will never use that on my phone. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it,
how do you feel
related
about it,
story, right? Didn't some woman just used it to, like, save herself and her... kid
yeah.
when they were hit by a hit and run driver or a drunk driver or something.
Yep.
So I'm all for the feature. I'm just hoping that I'd love to hear from some emergency services people and find out if it's a big deal that the volume has gone up, or they probably feel like it's better to have the false calls and have more people have access to the feature. I would guess, like, most emergency services people are probably glad that it exists, even though it might cause a little more inconvenience for them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you think, Jeff?
Because those people are awesome.
Jeff, is that what you probably would think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's what you can expect. If you accidentally make a 911 call and the call goes through,
don't hang up. Yeah.
Tell the police dispatch, I accidentally... dialed 911 using the emergency feature on my phone and I'm okay. And then they're going to send a police officer out to verify that you really are okay.
Really?
And don't freak out. Yeah, because if you say you're okay and someone's holding a gun to your head making you say I'm okay, well,
right.
How are they going to know? So they send a police officer out to make sure you're okay. They may very well keep you on the phone the entire time till the cop shows up. And when you get there, they may very well say, okay, hand your phone to the police officer. And then the police officer takes the phone and says, yep, this is me. I'm with them and everything's okay.
Huh. That's news to me. I guess I've never done that accidentally.
No, yeah, you would remember if you've done it accidentally.
The 3-second countdown usually is sufficient to be able to cancel it. Like,
yeah,
the odds that it's going to go off accidentally and you're not going to get to it are relatively slim, because again, it makes a very loud, annoying noise. But you go into panic mode. That's the problem. Is like, I panic.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And your brain stops functioning for that like first second. So it's good that it's a 3-second countdown.
Well, when I did it a few minutes ago, so I was in the settings. Oh yeah. And that's another thing. If you do that, doesn't it disable your Touch ID?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it did do that, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, the UI kind of locked up for a moment, and I thought, oh, it's not going to do it. And then it kind of glitched out and then started the countdown. So that made me even more worried that it was just going to call before the UI caught up.
Right.
But yeah, okay. Anyway, that's that story. iPad refresh in March may be likely.
Yep.
According to Consomac, I believe they're a French website, and they have seen that there was certification for new tablets in Eurasia. where that is required. Oh. You have to have registration for devices with encryption in various countries, which is, you know, kind of crazy, but it is what it is. And we've used this information in the past to predict new releases. And so we're thinking that this is for the 9.7-inch iPad. A refresh okay. on that? Is that what we're thinking? Adam? Jeff?
There's also been pretty heavy rumors for a while that this spring we might see an updated size, right? A 10 point, is it a 10 point? The 9.7 Pro will become like a 10.1, but without the home button and the Face ID.
Right.
This would be the Face ID updates. Mm-hmm. And I think that could happen. And I think that there could be an event, probably just a quick press event at the Steve Jobs Theater for that.
Yeah, I think that Face ID is coming sooner as opposed to later to the iPad line, at least at the Pro yep. level.
Yep.
Because Apple's made it clear they've wanted to do facial recognition for a long time.
Well, yeah, and plus they've got they've got developers on board too, right? They want more developers doing more of that stuff and more with mm-hmm. ARKit and more. So they need to start to get the camera sensors and things out into all of the products so that that stuff can be leveraged by developers.
Right.
And so you're going to want those devices out in the wild probably before Worldwide Developer Conference comes around.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yep.
Or at least announced so that developers see that there's something for them to develop for.
Right. Yeah.
So even if it's just an announcement and then they go on sale in June or something like that, that's probably enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, unless you guys have more to talk about, I think we should do our picks. Because I have a good one this week. Adam?
Yeah.
You don't sound like you have one.
I don't.
Jeff?
I was trying to think of something
I'll let
at
Jeff
the beginning
go first.
Of the show, but I'll come up with something.
Okay, Jeff, it's your turn.
Okay, so my pick this week, it goes with AirPods, and it's the waterproof case for AirPods from Catalyst, and I got one of these back in January, and it's like a silicone sleeve that you slide your AirPods into, and it has a waterproof cover that goes over the charging port, and then the whole top of this little case thing folds back so that you can easily get into the AirPods. But if you fold it up, it makes a watertight seal so that the lid isn't going to let water go in.
Yeah.
And it has a little place where the Bluetooth reset button on the back of the case is. It has a little circle there, so you know where to press in case you need to do the reset thing. And it has a D-ring on it so that you can clip it onto stuff. And it's been working great for me, and I really like it. And what I end up doing with the D-ring, instead of clipping my AirPods onto stuff, I put my keys onto that. Oh. So when I go out, my AirPods and my keys are all together.
Oh, nice.
And you can get several different colors, and they're really nice. They're $25.
Yeah, that looks good.
I really like mine a lot.
Awesome. Adam, are you ready, or should I do mine?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, do it.
All right. Oh, I don't know if this is the right place to be putting the link for you. But anyway, I'm going to pick, and I don't know if I picked this here in the past or not, Billings Pro from Market Circle. So I am self-employed. I work for myself, and part of that involves having to do time tracking and invoicing and billing and all those sorts of things. And they, Market Circle, who they also do daylight, for those people who are familiar with that, but they have this, online billing thing, and it's a subscription. I pay, I think, the professional version, which is $10 a month. So it's $120 a year. But it lets you do unlimited invoices, estimates, statements, projects and clients. You can get a cheaper version if you only need to do a few invoices a month at $5 a month. But they have iOS apps for both iPad and iPhone, as well as an app for the Mac. And so I can use whatever device I have to do like time tracking. So it's got a little time tracker on there. I can set up different projects and manage all of those. And if a client needs an estimate, I've had it where, you know, I'm out and about and somebody wants an estimate quickly on something and I only have my iPhone with me. And it all syncs through their cloud. So they have a cloud that it all connects into, but then you have a local app as well that you can run wherever. And it's, I mean, you can create like really nice looking invoices. They have a little designer in there. You can do different styles. And I've been using it for a really long time. And I guess I haven't picked it before because it's just something that's always been a part of my workflow.
Yeah.
So, and I like the app for iPhone and iPad. It's really convenient when you're on site at a client and you can just pull out the iPad. You can quickly put together the invoice and send it to them right then and there. Because that used to be a problem for me is I'd go out and do some work or I'd do some work and I'd like balk on doing the invoicing because it was so just such a pain in the butt to like open up a Pages document and have to like write a bunch of stuff. This just makes it super easy.
Nice.
So, and it'll send an email, and if you're not getting paid, you can also send reminder emails and all that stuff. So it's great. Billings Pro from Market Circle.
You know, I don't need to use Billings Pro, but I know a lot of like independent web designers that are using this, and they
I've used web stuff, and I even with Billings Pro, some people might ask about payments. So I do Square for actually doing like credit cards and online payments, and I use it with it. It's not really integrated, but and Square kind of has its own invoicing thing built into it where it sends an invoice. But I use the two together. I like having something local on my machine that on my devices that I'm managing locally, and I can kind of, I just feel like I am in better control than just always going through a cloud thing, even though this is in a way a cloud thing. But I like having a native local client that I'm working with, you know, app, client app. So that's kind of why I landed on this one. And I've used other online ones, but this is the one that clicks because, again, I have the little timer. It has a little menu bar item. So when Billings Pro is open and I start to work on something, I can, because that was another area that I was really bad at, was like keeping track of time, right? And this makes it really easy. And it has even convenient features like if you leave it on and you walk away from your machine, it'll detect, oh, you accidentally left it on. And it'll say, hey, do you want to remove the last, 20 minutes when you were idle from the time clock? So
nice.
Yeah, it's well worth it. I mean, it's a professional app, so $120 a year, but you easily get the value out of it if you have to do a lot of billing and invoicing and stuff like that.
Right.
And actually, it's $99. I just saw you get a discount if you pay for a year up front, which I think I do. So,
all right. So my pick this week is the Leonis Magnetic USB-C Charge Cable that I got from Amazon for $29. It basically brings MagSafe back to the dongle book.
And it hasn't fried your dongle book yet?
No. It's actually, this is the, I looked for a while on Amazon for, through all sorts of magnetic USB-C cables. And this one has very high ratings in a lot of them. And it's even reversible. So obviously the USB-C is reversible, but the magnet part is reversible also. And yeah, it works great. I like it. I like it a lot. And it's important to me because I work in public places a lot where people are. I mean, just the other day I was sitting with some people and someone had their laptop plugged in and the cord was kicked out 4 times within the span of like 2 hours. So,
and their laptop went flying?
No. Somehow it's a standard like coaxial right. Thingamajig plug-in, and somehow it slipped out every time.
It's probably been kicked out so many times that the connector port is loose.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think Apple got rid of MagSafe because I think it was not really as big an issue as they tried to make it out to be.
Okay, but with USB-C though,
I think it would just pull right out because I've even
oh it
done
is
that.
Not it I've is not
o- put it this way. I've tripped over the cord of my iPad Pro, and the iPad Pro has stayed on the table, and the cord has flown out.
That is a
several times.
Different situation, my friend. It is easier.
No,
it is easier to pull out a lightning cable than it is to pull out a USB-C.
Really?
Yeah, my USB-C connectors, they sit really snug in my MacBook Pro.
They're very snug. Yeah, I would be very concerned about someone tripping. And my laptop is almost guaranteed to go flying with USB-C.
Or at least you end up with a broken cable or a broken port.
Something's going to get damaged.
Well, you're using it wrong, Michael. It's a portable machine. You're not supposed to be using it out and about plugged in, right? You
True.
Plug it in at home and then you take it out. And
to be fair, I know you're making a joke, but I haven't, honestly, I haven't really needed to plug this thing in away from home so far.
I was only kind of half joking because I do the same thing. Like I always take my charger with me, so I always have it with me. But typically when I'm doing sessions out and about, they're not lasting more than 4 or 5 hours in most cases. So I guess it just depends on your scenario. Like if I was going to hunker down somewhere for a full day, it would be a problem. But I mean, if I'm going out to meet with a client or have some meetings throughout the day, I generally find the same thing. I don't need to plug in the notebook. I can go a good 3-4 hours of solid usage without a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if you're looking for one of these things for your MacBook with USB-C, highly recommend it. It's pretty good. So yeah, with that, you can find the pics in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes, tell a friend, give us some stars. If you have any feedback for us, you can send that to feedback@theiosshow.com. That's the email address. And of course, check out our sponsor this week, which is Jamf, with Jamf now, jamf.com/TIOSS. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. I'm reading words. Adam Christensen, who also has a name that starts with ad, but it's
Adam.
Not the end of it is not advertising. It's Adam. So Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com.
Yep. So normally where you'll find me.
Yeah, MacCast.com and
at MacCast on
good God
Twitter. What?
I've done this 300
MacCast.
Some
just on
times.
Every other social media, so I'll finish it up for you, Michael.
Okay, do it.
Yep. And you can also find me on Fridays over at the Mac Show if you want to catch that live. We're at 8 a.m. Pacific time every week. It's doing a live Mac thing on the British Tech Network, so you can check that out too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com. He does the TMO Daily Observations podcast. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Do you have anything else to pimp?
I'm going to pimp Fresh Brew Tales because I have a few stories that I need to write. So if I'm saying, hey, go check out FreshBrewTales.com, that kind of gives me some extra motivation to carve out time in my schedule and write those pieces.
Awesome. So check out Fresh Brewed Tales. I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS Show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus?
Stylus.
You have to get them and put them away and you lose them.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no.